Welcome everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 623. We're talking about appreciating your spouse's nature, and sensitivity towards others is one of those areas also where men and women differ. Women, generally speaking, have a trait of compassion. They're designed to care about people and experience other people's distress as their own, with a desire to alleviate that distress. And the reason why Hashem created women with that acute sensitivity and compassion is to help them and to enhance their role as a caring mother and as a caring wife. So examples of this, we see that, you know, mother may be a heavy sleeper overall, but she will automatically awake in the middle of the night when her baby cries softly, even from another room, because it's very difficult to find her baby cry. Rabbi Feldman cited a medical report that claims that a baby's cry releases a specific hormone in the mother's body that causes her discomfort and awakens her and arouses her compassion until the needs of the baby are tended to. So it's natural. Hashem placed it in nature of the woman and of the mother. On the other hand, the husband may first debate with himself, should I get up? Should I not get up? It'll ruin my day. But he may get up because he feels he's responsible to get up. But it's less like internal. During the day also, when a child cries, it'll generally awaken the mother's compassion. The father will want to know, why is he crying? You know, it's not like he doesn't care, but it's a little more detached than a mother's compassion. A woman's response to someone's heavy cries arouses her own feelings of sorrow. And men, you know, won't feel it as deeply. Sometimes they'll even get annoyed. So this difference also is important to understand. Of course, it can be reversed in certain situations. The emotional excitement is, generally speaking, part of a woman's emotional makeup. To get emotionally involved in other people's feelings, she may be frustrated when she sees her husband doesn't share those feelings with her. So as an example, you know, the phone rings, the kids say, oh, it's for you and the mother, and they're eating supper. And the wife goes to the phone and she hears her yell, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, wonderful, and so happy for her. And she calls her husband, you know, my friend here got engaged, isn't that wonderful? She was looking so long for a shidduch and now she's a kala. And the husband's sitting in the living room chair, even if he's eating with them, Mazel Tov, but, you know, he's thinking to himself, why are you so excited? You know, kids are busy with the kitchen, deal with that. So her excitement level goes down a little bit when she hears that, but she's still very happy and excited. And she doesn't understand why her husband doesn't share that joy to that great extent. And, you know, if the similar incident would happen to her husband, a good friend of his would get engaged, he would also be very happy. But then his rational sense would dictate the show has to go on and I'll continue with doing what I'm doing. I'm very happy for my friend, but I'll continue doing what I'm doing. With a wife, sometimes the emotion of the happiness breaks the cycle of doing what you're doing. So this is a very, very normal thing. It happens the other way around too. When it's nebuch, it's a negative, painful thing. A loss of a parent, a broken shidduch, a woman's empathy very often will cause her to fall in a state of sadness, remorse. It would affect her day-to-day living. The husband, generally speaking, will find it difficult to understand that degree of an emotional disturbance and affected her so much. And again, it could be reverse, and often it's reverse. We talked about it in the MBTI. There are men that are more feelers emotionally and women that are more thinkers, and they don't have this trait. So it's generally speaking this way, but it could happen in the reverse way too. They also have different modes of how they are enthusiastic pertaining to spiritual aspects. And that could create a big difference in machlokes between a husband and a wife. Example with this would be is that a couple comes home from a public shir, and each one wonders how the other one was affected in a very bizarre way. As an example, the wife is extremely excited. Hears a shir, gets motivated. She already wants to implement in her home many of the new ideas that came from this shir. The husband enjoyed the shir as well. We're not talking about when he didn't like it or had a problem with it. He didn't have a problem with it. He was, you know, found it very, very informative and good too. They both agree on that. But he will be more reserved. his emotional reaction will be slower, or less openly expressed. And he would say to himself, you know something, let's review this lecture, let's check the sources, let's ask our Rav whether it's advisable to practice this in our home or not. The wife may impulsively say, this was so beautiful, wonderful, I want to implement this immediately, with that feeling and emotional feeling. She's not wrong for feeling that way. Remember that. We have to respect that. And the husband will say, no, let's think it through, mull it through, and work it through, and even ask our Rav whether this particular thing that this Magid Shir suggested is healthy for our home or not healthy for our home. So this is the idea. But the fact that the women are more spiritually inclined like that is something that the husband needs to cherish. The fact that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to the daughters of Yaakov first, Beis Yaakov, and then Bnei Yisrael, addressing the women first, because they were more readily aroused to fulfill the mitzvahs, and they could funnel this inspiration to their husbands and to their wives. This is brought down in Igeres HaTshuva and in other Mefarshim. And the Rabbeinu Yonah writes that the women played a vital role in bringing Tyron Yishmael into the home. The previous source was Medrash Rabbah, but this was from Igeres HaTshuva. The feminine nature saved them from the Chet HaEgel. They opposed the Chet HaEgel. They begged the husbands not to have any part of it. They did not give them their jewelry. They openly protested it. Their emotions were based on Emunah Pshuta, simple trust in Hashem. And no matter how much she had logical arguments about the Egel this way, that way, the other way, they weren't fazed. So here is where their Emunah Pshuta and their not using logic saved them. And they were close to Hashem as a result. So all the husbands that look negatively at the lack of logic and the strong emotion of women, here is a case where Hashem valued their lack of logic and the strong emotion of the women. That came with an Emunah Pshuta. I could have a cheshbonus with the eagle this way, that way, the other way. I'm not budging. And I'm going to rely on Hashem. And I'm not going to participate in this. Same thing with the Meraglim. Same idea. The Lashon Hara did not affect the women. Adarabba, they were ready to get into Eretz Yisrael. They believed Hashem's word that they're going to be in the chosen land. Again, there was logic that placed with emotional fear. And here, even though they had emotions, they did not create that fear. With that logic that created that fear, they had that Emunah Pshuta. It's brought down. He brings a source, Arachim of the Chassid Yavitz brings this down, that in the Spanish Inquisition as well, the women were more prone to choose to be Meiser Nefesh and even give up their lives or, you know, being expelled from their land rather than to convert to Christianity. Men believed that it was a logical thing to convert outwardly and inwardly, keep the mitzvahs like the Muranos did, and the women, for the most part, did not have that view. So therefore, it's important to appreciate a wife's emotional connection here, spiritual level. She's very often with the shiurim, with being careful with Lashon Hara and Tznius and all these things. And a husband very often is less enthusiastic in these reactions. Sometimes he feels that she's overdoing it. In reality, sometimes she may be overdoing it. So again, it's a really, you have to know each situation is different. But it is her nature, and there's a lot of good to that. So it doesn't mean that if a wife comes home enthusiastically after she wants to implement something right away, the husband has a right to say, let's wait, let's talk it through, and let's ask a Rav maybe. But you cannot discount the Lev Tahor that the wife is expressing here and take it very seriously and take it with a great degree of respect and appreciation. Idea also, you know, husband will rationalize, he can't make that early minyan or that early shir. Woke up very late last night, to a chasana night before, and he needs to sleep. And her initial reaction is, but how could you miss the minyan or the daily shir? And sometimes that will encourage him to muster that extra energy to wake up for the minyan. But again, it has to be done the right way. Use your seichel when you do this. Sometimes when you see the husband is really out of sorts and is not feeling well, then the wife's intuition may tell him in this scenario, you know, lay down for another hour, go to a little bit of a later niminyan, and that may be the right choice. You understand? So it's not always like that. But sometimes it is. So you have to understand that a lot of it is coming from that Bini Yaseira that we have to be conscious for. Another thing that happens very often is when a woman is more halachically conscious with halachic observance more than the husband. And often she appears to be overdoing it. And her questions may irritate her husband. But he needs to be patient and to provide the answers, or to be listening carefully and not let his ego get the better of him. This especially is with tenit halachis, when the husband, as a young person, did not learn halacha that much in yeshiva, more the lamdisha thing, did not learn halacha, does not know Hilchos Shabbos well, does not aware of various practical things there, and the wife going to Beis Yaakov or certain seminaries, they know that something's a shaila. So when they bring it up, it should be viewed positively by the husband, you know, and tend to it. Not to say that you're necessarily farafali chumras. This is a very general thing that's important, you know. A wife could bring up a certain thing that may be a halachic problem. The husband is not obligated to accept at face value, but he has a right, but he has every obligation to take it seriously and ask his rav about it. Generally speaking, being machmer out of ignorance is not healthy. Whether it's the ignorance of the wife or whether it's the ignorance of the husband, it's not healthy to be machmer. Just blindly, I don't know the halachas, I'll be machmer. A husband should not be irritated when his wife mentions certain things to worry about halachically, and vice versa, but they need to work in a normal way towards it. It's better that she is concerned, let's say, for the kashrus of the kitchen and all these things, than not being concerned. So he needs to appreciate it. It has to be done with a balance and a healthy way. And again, very often asking guidance, but not to take it personally. It's a very, very special thing to be able to take this seriously and use it the right way. So again, to review the aspects of what we talked about over here, is again the same idea of respecting each other's nature. Most often it's the wife, sometimes it's the husband, that has that deepest compassion for others in a way that it affects their emotion. And it's and sometimes it affects their day-to-day living, and you need to have compassion about that. Emotional excitement, need compassion about that. Halakhic things, need to be compassion about that. The right healthy balance with all of these things. But when there is a spiritual enthusiasm, a sirus, even if you feel it goes a little too far, not to bash it. Realize it's coming from a good place. And we get to implement it, yeah. We have to ask, we have to figure it out, we have to be. But the idea of wanting to become better and wanting to be idealistic is a beautiful trait. And we should never squash it, and we certainly should never be mevaza it. And like we talk very, very seriously, and Hashem had nachas ruach from the women's feelings and emotional and emunah pshuta pertaining to their refusal to serve the egel or to be participate in anything pertaining to the meraglim. And we need to, as men, value that and appreciate that. And again, and when that happens, especially with halachic things and other things, not to get annoyed, to understand it's coming from a good place. And if it indeed is somewhat overboard, then you can ask a shaila, ask a rav, and find out what's best, how to implement things in your house, and when yes and when no, always in a derech eretz, a healthy way. Bracha v'atzlacha.